o'clock. So the regular session is in order. First item is the call to order and the roll call. So Bill Brannigan is here. Commissioner Berman?
I'm here.
Mr. Hanselman?
I'm here.
Rolio?
Here.
Gary East?
Here.
I didn't say John Updike yet.
Not yet, but I'm here.
Marjorie Blom?
Here.
Okay, all are present. So next order of business is the approval of the minutes. I have reviewed the minutes, and there was mainly a few punctuation things. Otherwise, they were accurate. So I would recommend that we go and approve the minutes, if I could get a motion.
I would so move. Do you want to do one motion for both work session and regular session?
Right.
Yeah. So I'd move approval.
I'll second it.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Didn't hear any. So the approval of the minutes is approved. Citizen public comment. Do we have any? We don't have any. Okay. Next up are action items.
This would be where it would be appropriate to put out a motion to add as an action item the commission appointment of a representative on the City Center Revitalization Advisory Committee. One of you guys needs to do that.
A motion to appoint.
To add that as an action item.
To add as an action item appointment of a planning commissioner for the, what's the title again?
Planning Commission representative.
Oh, City Center.
To the City Center.
Committee.
Committee, that's fair.
Yeah.
Do we have a second on that?
I second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Not hearing any. Add it to the action items list.
That's up.
Okay, next up is public hearings.
No, that item would be
up. Can we act on that?
Yeah, now that agenda item has been added. Now you can go ahead and act on that agenda item.
Okay. I can speed that along.
I think I would like to, on this action item, is make a motion to have our Commissioner Berman on the committee. Is that close?
That's fair enough.
That's good enough.
If you have a, now just, do you have a second?
Yeah, on the city revitalization, City Center revitalization committee.
If it's not a conflict of interest, I will second.
Oh, good on you.
Oh. Okay, unusual, but works. Okay, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Aye.
I think he was worried we weren't going to get a second.
Okay, the action item.
Well, thank you all very much. I will do my best to represent the entire Planning Commission on that committee.
Be careful what you ask for.
Yeah. Okay. Any other action items? I don't think so. So we now have public hearings. And we do have some people on the zooming in. If people could identify themselves, or Sherry can identify them.
Thank you. Online we have Amy Keene, Julie Bradshaw, David Lucas, Keely O'Brien, And Bonnie, I think that's Bonnie Serkin. And that's yep. all I show.
Is there anybody else that Sherry did not? Okay, hearing none. I need to read, since this is a public hearing, particularly since we're using the Zoom video conferencing, need to read a brief statement here. This public hearing is being conducted utilizing the Zoom video conference platform. Before we get started, I'd like to provide staff a moment to identify individuals and go over a few ground rules. Sherry's already identified the individuals. Individuals wishing to speak may raise their hand or use the raise hand feature, which can be found by clicking on the participants button on the bottom of a computer screen, the raise hand button on the bottom of a smartphone, or by dialing *9 on a landline. I will call out the order of testimony in cases where multiple hands are raised. Please keep your microphone muted unless you are speaking. Press *6 to mute and unmute a landline. For persons participating by video or phone, the city can make the shared screen feature available for those that wish to make a presentation. Information shared with the Planning Commission in this manner is part of the record, and a copy of the materials will need to be provided to staff. For those persons who have elected to attend the hearing in person, a computer has been set up so that they may provide testimony using the video conference platform. Number two, quasi-judicial and legislative land use public hearings. Where the hearing today is regarding the development of housing facilities for Hatfield and Oregon State University. This statement applies to quasi-judicial and legislative land use hearings on the agenda. All testimony and evidence presented toward the request being heard must be directed toward the applicable criteria in the Newport Comprehensive Plan, the Newport Municipal Code, or other land use regulations or standards which the speaker believes to apply to the decision. The failure of anyone to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the Planning Commission and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue will preclude appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals, known as LUBA, L-U-B-A, based on that issue. An issue which may be the basis for an appeal to LUBA shall be raised not later than the close of the record at or following this evidentiary hearing. Such issues shall be raised and accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the city decision makers and the parties an adequate opportunity to respond to each issue. The failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the city to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Prior to the conclusion of a hearing, any participant may request an opportunity to present additional evidence, arguments, or testimony regarding the application. If such a request is made, then the hearing will be continued to a date certain and schedule set for submittal of additional testimony, a period for parties to respond to the new testimony, and a period whereby the applicant can provide final arguments. At this time, I would ask planning commissioners to disclose any actual or potential conflicts of interest, bias, ex parte contacts, or site visits. Does anybody have?
None.
If anyone present has an objection to the participation of any planning commission member or the commission as a whole, please raise that objection now. I see no objections. The Planning Commission may, at the request of a participant or on its own accord, continue the hearing to a date certain to provide an opportunity for persons to present and rebut new evidence, arguments, or testimony related to the applicable criteria. The hearing will proceed in the following order. Staff report, the applicant's testimony, persons in favor, persons opposed, the applicant's rebuttal. The record will then close for public testimony. The Planning Commission will deliberate, question, and make a verbal decision. A final order and findings will be prepared for consideration at the next meeting. Okay, so staff report.
Thank you. Derek Tokos, Community Development Director. I'm going to go ahead and put image up that the applicant has prepared of their site plan. Should be able to see it up there. Okay, so what you have before you is an amended final development plan and request for adjustment. This property is part of the Wilder Plan development. This is actually the fourth iteration of student housing at this particular location. It's over a 5-acre property that Oregon State University owns for purposes of constructing student housing. They also have an adjacent tract, we'll call it Track G, where they will be constructing a nature trail. The nature trail is part of the Wilder concept, and it was a commitment they made when they acquired the property that they would complete that trail. So the current proposal is for 77 apartment-style student housing units, along with associated parking, landscaping, and amenities. Your building height's just under 45 feet. 45 feet is your maximum building height, 36,000 square feet in total. The adjustment that they requested was to the off-street parking requirement, which for this project in the plan development is 1.3 parking spaces per unit. They are looking for one off-street parking space per unit. The 1.3 would require 101 parking spaces. The adjustment obviously would take it down to 77. They're showing 81 on the plans. This property is just for getting your bearings. This property is just right across the street from the South Beach Church, which recently received conditional use approval. It's immediately up the hill and up out of the tsunami inundation area, which was a big deal for OSU when they were looking for a property. You have commercial and industrial properties to the west as you drop down towards US 101. And then to the east, you have the initial phase of Wilder, a mix of different residential, single family residential types. And then that extends further to the east, picking up the current phase that Fowler's been building, the commercial corner, and then the community college. All services are available to the property. Portions of the property are variable slopes on the property. Got some pockets of wetlands. They have been delineated. I believe the delineation report was in the materials. The applications provided detailed findings to address the criteria. I'm not going to go through each of the criteria. Although I will note that the applicable criteria for final development plan are under section 14.35.100 and the criteria for adjustment under 14.33.050. We provided notice to properties within 500 feet of the subject site, and that was because the applicant provided us a list of properties within 500 feet of the site. The code requires 200. They wanted that expanded to try to pick up more of the folks, particularly the folks in the first phase of Wilder. And so that's how that was noticed. We only received two comments in response to the public notice. One was from Assistant City Engineer Claire Paul, and the other was from our Fire Chief Rob Murphy. I'll be addressing both of those under the recommended conditions of approval. After reviewing this application, I do believe that the standards can be met, or either have been met or can be met through the imposition of conditions of approval. And I've outlined what those conditions would be. And what I'd like to do is just kind of, instead of reading through my staff report, I'll touch on each condition and briefly explain why they're there, because I think they touch on all of the pertinent issues that were raised. First, there are some conditions from prior city approvals for the Wilder plan development that apply to this property. And that condition has been carried forward on any of the final development plans in that area. The second has to do with, you know, this if the commission finds that the standards have been met and this is approved, what you're approving is what they submitted, and it's based upon their submittal, not something else, you know. So they would be bound by what they're presenting to you this evening. With respect to the adjustment, the condition I put in here would require that the applicant provide 20 additional overflow parking spaces in gravel, reinforced turf, or similar material for use by tenants and guests. This would get it up to 101 total and would meet the 1.3 ratio, 1.3 spaces per unit ratio.
Where would that off-street parking then be?
I'll let the applicant speak to it as well, because I think they're going to want to. But my suspicion is what they would do is just branch it off and put it in this area here. They would mitigate some of the wetland, but they would probably put it in this area over in here. I understand the interest in getting an adjustment down to you know, one parking space per unit. I appreciate that. You know, there's a large number of studio apartments in here. Only 82 bedrooms across 77 units tells you it's a lot of studios. Claire Paul, though, her comment, you know, had to do with parking. Her concern, and I think it was a good one, is, look, we're isolated here somewhat. We don't have available on-street parking that people could utilize here because it's not available on Harborton. And as I pointed out, while I appreciate the applicant's work and effort in kind of comparing, hey, look, these are some standard ratios you find in student housing projects, and here's some survey results from, you know, OSU's main campus, you're looking at a little bit of apples to oranges here, because those are areas that are proximate to other services, so close in many cases that you have a meaningful number of people who are staying there that don't even bother to have a car. They can just take a bike and get to the grocery store and do all those other things that they need to do. That's not as easy from this location. Most of those services are available on the other side of the bridge. I appreciate that OSU certainly could, you know, as a university, control, you know, basically mandate that anybody who is staying in a unit can have no more than one vehicle, can certainly even assign those parking spaces if they want to do that. But they have a harder time controlling guests who are coming to see people, and I think it's prudent, really, just to, the overflow parking, I think, is going to be needed in some circumstances, and I think it should be provided because there really is no alternative should they be at full occupancy and other people are showing up to, you know, because somebody's having guests over or things of that nature. So I think the way that would work would be for you to grant an adjustment, allowing them only to have 81 surfaced parking spaces, and then the additional 20 can be in gravel or reinforced turf, much like the overflow parking the church has, but at a little bit different scale.
So would that still be an adjustment? Or
it would still be an adjustment. It would just be an adjustment down to 81 surface spaces.
Plus the 20.
Plus the 20 as overflow to get them to 101, which would then meet the
1.3. So the 81 would be the
surfaced paved spaces. An additional ADA space may be needed because of the number of parking spaces are being provided. If so, they'll need to accommodate that, but they certainly have areas where they could put in one more ADA space if needed. Next condition gets at the fire department connection. I think this is just some, you know, applicant can absolutely address this. The fire chief was comfortable with where a fire hydrant's located. They just wanted to know where the fire department connection is going to be. This is a function of fire code. Needs to be within 100 feet of the hydrant. They can depict it on a plan and run that by a fire chief to make sure he's comfortable with that. The next one has to do with the emergency vehicle turnaround. That's this guy right here, down here. The both legs of this need to be a full 24 feet in width. On the plan that was submitted, this one was, I think, only 20. So they'll need to make both legs of that 24 feet to accommodate the fire department ladder truck, which is what would likely be deployed, Rob was saying, to this, or possibly be deployed to this property. Probably a better way to put that. The applicant will be directing stormwater, and we've been working with him on this one, stormwater to a drainage down here that then collects down into a regional stormwater detention pond that the city has an easement over right next to 40th, the pond down there, and then that pond releases into a pipe system that goes down 40th, down Ash, and then ultimately outfalls into the estuary after crossing through some private property and an easement we have. As they noted, that pond is sized to accommodate the additional runoff. However, it has silted up, and so there'll need to be some sediment removed to ensure that that full volume is available, and it can be appropriate for a condition to be imposed requiring that they complete that sediment removal and the dredging effectively of the pond prior to occupancy. That could very well require that they obtain state agency permits, like from the Department of State Lands, because you know that is a wetland area. The city has reserved some funds to contribute to the maintenance of that facility, and so it may be that the city council elects to contribute those funds. But that would be a separate agreement. A bus pullout should be provided along the property southeast Harborton 40th Street frontage if the Lincoln County Transit District determines that a stop is needed at this location. One of the keys is for us is that if a stop is going to be here, it needs to be a pullout. Otherwise, we would have buses stopping in a travel lane, which we don't want. And that's consistent with the 2018 transit plan, which also said, that we don't want bus stops in travel lanes. They need to have a pullout bench if there's an average of 3 passenger loadings a day, more than 10, a actual shelter. The applicant had reached out to Lincoln County Transit. I included a copy of what correspondence they had with Cinder Bruce, the transit district director, but what was included in the application was inconclusive in terms of whether or not transit needed a stop there, and so that's the condition.
I would hope they'd have a stop there.
And really, when you look at the transit plan, it really is going to be up to the transit district, yeah, as to whether or not they want to stop at that location. If not, so. I'll let the applicant speak to that. I suspect they have some information on that particular topic. And then the applicant will need to construct the nature trail. And that the way I've crafted the condition, which is consistent with how this was approved the last time, which is to give them some flexibility in terms of the final alignment, because what they're providing here now is just a concept sketch in terms of where that nature trail will go. They may need to adjust it based on actual terrain conditions, and that they have the leeway to construct it in a manner that's just consistent with what was in the Wilder Kit of Parts, which was included as one of your attachments in terms of what the nature trail would look like. So we're talking about something that's about 5 feet in width. You've got bark chips kind of surfacing. So this is something that's a light, as light a hit as they can on the terrain. Is really what that's looking for. When that's done,
Derek,
it would be go ahead.
I'm just wondering where the other end of that trail is. Is that in Don Davis, the other park over there?
To the south, it would tie down into Mike Miller Park, to the southwest. And then actually to the north, it will likely tie into a separate trail that would be what we call the Chestnut Street Trail Extension. We're working with the South Beach Church on that one. And that would come in on the other side of Harborton, just to the north of this.
Okay, and is that trail going to be such that bicycle commuting down to the campus is practical?
My suspicion that bicycle commuting to the campus is going to be using the paved multi-purpose trail that goes down 40th. We have, as one of our final urban renewal projects, cleaning up that multi-use path connection from where it terminates at the end of the Wilder development to Ash. Ash then has a multi, then you're on the multi, on the paved multi-purpose trail all the way into campus. So I suspect that's the route most folks would take. And then all I was going to say is when the trail's completed, then they would turn that over to the city, dedicate the tract, and then the city would take on ongoing maintenance of the nature trail as a public, part of the public trail system. And then all of the improvements would need to be completed prior to occupancy unless an improvement agreement is executed, and we have rules for that. So if for some reason there were a few items that they couldn't complete but they needed to get into occupancy, we can do an improvement agreement. They can then do a performance bond or equivalent on the remaining work, and they'd have an additional 12 months to get that completed. That's the extent of my staff report.
Okay. We now
question.
Go ahead.
Yeah, question for Derek.
Yeah.
The pond that's going to have to be dredged. How quickly is that going to fill up again, and who's going to be responsible for dredging it the next time around?
I can't tell you how quickly it's going to fill back up again. I mean, it'll just fill in over time. And part of how quickly, you know, you have sediment buildup somewhat depends on what's happening upstream. So if you're doing a lot of earthwork upstream and you don't have really good erosion control measures in place, you can get a lot of turbid water coming down that drainage, and that would cause issues. Similarly, just the Tryon property around it, if they start directing a bunch of turbid water in there, could cause issues. So on the other hand, you may not have that circumstance, and it's a much slower build as vegetation and other woody debris kind of flushes down the drainage and slowly breaks down and causes issues, causes the sediment to slowly build up. So I really can't say how quickly that would happen, and that's going to vary based on what's happening around the drainage. The city understands that as part of it's a regional facility that the city will have some maintenance responsibilities for. If we have another upstream development, though, that wants to take a bunch of water there and requires pond work, we would expect that developer would be investing resources in modifying the pond to make sure that it has the capacity it needs, just as OSU is. And just as, frankly, Wilder did for their current residential phase, where they made changes to the outfall to address a capacity issue in their circumstance.
Okay, thank you.
Quick follow-up to that. So I assume as part of the grading approval, they'd have to mitigate off-site drainage until construction starts. I'm just speaking to your question of they grade the site. I assume there's some retention requirements, or they have to, put those bags around it, or how do they prevent?
Well, you have an erosion control program for your site development work to try to limit the amount of turbid water that gets flushed down into the drainage system. You have that in of itself. During the course of construction, there's a little timing issue here. It's not like the pond has no capacity.
Right.
So our expectation is through the course of their, it's not a holdup for them proceeding with their development. It's just that dredging work would need to be done before occupancy.
Perfect. Okay. Because wouldn't that be ideal to have the dredging done when this is nearly complete?
ideal.
Yeah, okay, great. Quick question based on our trash enclosure discussion. Is the distance okay from the enclosure that's at the far south end?
This application was submitted before that ordinance was effective. I checked that.
Okay.
So that ordinance, we cannot apply that ordinance to this project because it came in before that ordinance was effective.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Well, have they checked with Thompson's and gotten some kind of sign off or at least a statement that it's acceptable?
We had raised the need for coordination with them early on. I'll let them speak to, you know, what conversations they've had when they have a chance to present.
Any other questions of Derek? Okay, I do not hear any. So we will now move to applicant's testimony. So. And if you two gentlemen can state your name and address for the record. The mics are hot.
Sure. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to you about this housing project. I'm Bob Cowan. I'm the director of the Hatfield Marine Science Center and the client in this case for this housing.
And I'm Brian Vericchione. I'm a planner at McKenzie. And McKenzie is part of the design team assisting Hatfield with moving this project forward.
So if I could just start off a little bit with a little background. So I've been at Hatfield since 2013. And early on, we started a drive to expand the operations at Hatfield, both in terms of having more students out there, but also more researchers. And as you're probably familiar with, over probably about a 4 or 5 year period, we developed and received funding for a new building, the Marine Studies building at Hatfield, which is being dedicated tomorrow, actually. And in this drive, the then president of OSU was saying that he would like to see as many as 500 students out at Hatfield. And just it was an aspiration. It was sort of looking at a potential that we might have. And in fact, we have gone from about 100 students touching Hatfield in a year, not there all at once, to today we're at about 450. So we're close to that aspiration, but we've also expanded some of our research. Our faculty, number of faculty, have increased by about 30%. And in part seeking the community support of that building and our efforts there, we did make a promise that we would, in having extra students there, we would house them to meet two conditions. One, as Derek has indicated, such that we would not have students sleeping and spending their off time in a tsunami area. They would be awake when they're down there working, but they didn't need to spend their recreational time. And so we would build housing outside the tsunami zone. The second goal was to make sure that these added bodies were not adding to Newport's or Lincoln County's housing shortage. And the only way we could do that was to build the housing to meet both our student and our professional housing needs. We have a fair number of professionals that might be in for trainings. They might come in for a couple weeks or even the months in the wintertime. We have visiting faculty, visiting researchers. We have short-term visits from graduate students and postdocs. And those are the professionals that we did not want to have to be adding to our housing shortage locally. So the design that we've come up in the business model is one that enables us to meet the needs for both students and the student growth and the professionals. We have settled on a design which you've read about, and Brian will talk about it a little bit more, but that enables us to meet this need of short term. Sometimes we have 50 students show up for a weekend course, a 3-day course, field experience. But we also have students that are there sometimes for an entire term. And so we know what our balance of students are, and this housing meets our needs for that while we're still meeting our needs of these professionals. As it turns out, our peak abundance of students is pretty much in the spring and summer and a little bit in the fall. And our peak abundance of professionals is fall, winter, and a little bit in the spring. So it makes for a very nice business model in that we can keep our occupancy level high, but we're not having to bang these two groups together too much. So that's sort of what our goals have been. And I'm pretty excited by the fact that we're actually, as Derek indicated, this is our fourth run at this. The first several, for various reasons, the business model didn't work. First one was way too expensive, didn't matter whether it just wasn't going to work. Other designs just were not meeting our professional needs, and this one actually hits both really nicely. So that's just a little bit of background on the project. As I said, pretty excited about the directions that we can go through now and look forward to addressing some of your questions.
Thank you, Bob. As noted again, I'm Brian Vericchione. I'm also going to introduce Julie Bradshaw. She's on screen. Julie, I'm going to ask you to chime in later, so just a heads up. I wanted to thank Derek for all the support along the way and helping us work through the applicable code provisions and making sure that this project conforms to the applicable code provisions, as well as all the asterisks and special dispensations that have been granted to Wilder over the years. Makes for some interesting design exercise, but what you've got presented in front of you, we feel checks those boxes. So just to orient yourself a little bit, as Derek mentioned, the site's about 5 acres. And if you went out there, you'd see a lot of trees. It's pretty wooded. So as a result of that, one of the design objectives was to really limit the footprint as much as possible and not have to remove more trees than necessary. And so we've got kind of an odd-shaped dashed line around the edge of the limit of disturbance, and that's just trying to keep everything pretty tight to the building. The building itself is kind of in the tannish brown, the L-shaped. And then to the southeast of that, there's kind of an orange blob. That's a courtyard meant for use by residents, so it's got some movable chairs, picnic tables, cornhole, other types of things like that are envisioned so that the residents have a nice place to go outside and enjoy the atmosphere. The green shading on there is the proposed landscaping. We haven't shaded the rest of the site green, but as I mentioned, it's pretty wooded, so there'll be a lot of vegetation on site, even in those areas that are outside the areas of disturbance. And then there's a wetland there. It's pretty small. It's about 2,000 square feet, and that was delineated a little more than 5 years ago. And so through State of Oregon rules, the Department of State Lands recognizes the validity of those for 5 years. It has now lapsed. However, the wetland scientists have gone back out and re-measured and determined that the location conforms to what they measured previously 5 years ago. And so they've submitted a request to Department of State Lands basically to extend that approval for another 5 years. And DSL is currently reviewing that application. But given that the site conditions are largely the same, we're fairly confident that, that those boundaries as shown will continue to prevail. Let's see what else I can mention. So Harberton Street, being in Wilder Developments, even though it's a collector in the transportation system plan, it's got a unique cross section, just 24 feet paved and uncurbed. And then closer to the site, there's the 12-foot wide multi-use path. Somebody, I think it was Commissioner Berman, perhaps asked about biking. So my suspicion is the same as Derek's, that people will largely probably bike on that multi-use trail because the proposed wooded chip trail, well, there might be a few adventurous people that want to take their mountain bike out there, but certainly not anyone with a road bike. So, Derek, if you wouldn't mind flipping to the next image there.
Try.
Probably just hit page down or something.
Well, I think my computer's following it. Here we go.
Okay.
This one?
Yep, thank you. I know it's really hard to read at the scale. This is a utility plan, and so we just circled a couple spots on here. At the bottom of the screen, the south end, with the sort of blue dashed around it, that's the proposed connection to the storm line. There is a storm line through site already, so they can connect down there. And then at the top of the page, the red dashed oval shows the proposed connections to the sanitary sewer and the water system. Given that this is part of a planned development, utilities have already been stubbed to the site and sized appropriately, since multifamily development was envisioned for the site for many years, as Bob has mentioned. Got the design pretty well down pat on that so far. And then, Derek, one more. We have here elevation drawing, and we've added the bright red height notation on the left. Being cognizant of the city's 45-foot height limit at this location, we have squeaked in at with 6 inches to spare, so 44 and a half feet is proposed. And you can see the nature of the building is fairly regular, and each of the apartments has got, you know, windows that help see out into the world, which is nice in this environment with the forest around and everything. And then finally, one more image, and Derek, this will probably be the last slide. Here's a rendering. This is an image basically from the parking lot, looking kind of southeast. So the entryway is that corner with the canopy over it. That'll be the primary entry and meant to be inviting for people to come in and out there. Derek mentioned some of the numbers. It's proposed as 77 units overall in three stories, and a mix of studio, one bed and two bedroom, but only 81 bedrooms. No, 82 bedrooms. One of those. So yes, very few actual two bedroom units. Most of them will be single occupancy. But this is not a dormitory in the classic sense of the term. It's apartment style. So the residents will have their own kitchens instead of a shared facility. I wanted to mention a little bit about the parking ratio. Derek has correctly pointed out that part of the motivation for the requested parking adjustment, part of the supporting evidence was based on some surveys at the Corvallis campus for Oregon State University. But I don't want you to be entirely distracted by that, because the large part of our request is based on data from the Institute for Transportation Engineers. So you've probably heard of them, ITE. Any traffic engineer that comes before you and talks about a traffic impact analysis will be quoting ITE data. They also produce manuals and data about parking. And so McKenzie's transportation engineers looked at that. And for the closest category that they could find for parking was based on what the ITE calls a mid-rise apartment, you know, which can be up to 10 stories. Obviously, this is not that tall, but it's not your your duplex. It's, you know, between that and the high rise. And so using that data based on the bedroom count, surprisingly, the ITE data actually showed that you would need, based on surveys they've done of apartments throughout the nation, this mid-rise category, somewhat surprisingly, it shows that the demand is actually less, it would be less than one parking space per unit. Hatfield and OSU weren't quite comfortable going that low, so they're proposing slightly over 1.0 parking spaces per unit, requesting that adjustment to be at the 1.0, and throwing in a few extra spaces just in case. Derek's proposed a condition of approval for some overflow parking, and we understand there's some precedent across the street, in fact, with the Southeast Church. But before you jump to that, we do want to point out that that would require additional removal of trees and more impact on the environment, as well as there's some cost implications. So the request of the applicant is to, you know, keep the proposed 81 spaces. So we'll pitch that request to you and see where the conversation goes. A couple of the other questions that came up during the staff report and questions for Derek, there was one about erosion control. So this site's larger than an acre, so the state of Oregon has a permit requirement for a special erosion control permit, and that's currently under review. So the state will dictate various measures that are required to minimize soil leaving the site. So it could be in a variety of different techniques. You know, there's the bags of bark chips, there's filters in the catch basins, there's hydro seeding, all sorts of stuff. I'm not the designer on that, so I don't know precisely what's proposed, but the state will be, you know, reviewing that, approving it, and then they have monitoring capabilities as well. And that's something that's required through the construction process itself. And then once construction is done, it gets, you know, closed out, because at that time the site is, you know, stabilized, and then subject to the city's rules for stormwater management. Let's see, a couple other questions that came up. And Julie, heads up, these are coming your way. One was about conversations with the trash hauler, so she may know the answer to that. And the other was regarding conversations with the transit district. Yes, Derek's correct. What we have on the record is somewhat inconclusive in that regard. Our conversations with the transit district to date, at least the ones I'm aware of, they haven't actually requested a stop there. So I don't know that that's their final answer, but so far they haven't. Julie, if you know anything more on either of those two items, I welcome your chiming in.
Yes, for Julie Bradshaw with McKenzie, I'm the project architect for the project. For the trash and the waste, we did look into requirements early on, but I do not currently have a letter or written documentation from Thompson's, and it would be good for us to circle back with them and make sure that we've met their requirements. As far as provisions for the trash enclosure, it's towards the south of the site near the end of the fire truck turnaround, and we are providing a 6-foot fence with a double gate opening to allow for the trash and recycling enclosure. And Brian, can you remind me the second subject?
It was regarding any additional info you may know about the transit stop.
Oh, yes. There has not been further conversations since the letter that we provided. Our understanding with transit is that they currently don't have plans for a stop specifically at our site, and they would review the need for a stop at a later time. So for the development of this project currently, there is not a current need, but there may be a need in the future, or the need may be determined to be somewhere else on Harborton. So specifically, a turnout for a stop on our site at this time isn't what's being requested. But there may be a need in the future. There may be provisions that could be made for the future.
If you don't put stop for the bus now, how are you going to have space for it in the future?
What the county communicated to us is that they have a route, and currently there isn't a need for a new stop on the route. And so it may be in the future that they do need a stop on Harborton, but it may not be at the OSU site. It may be that they need the stop near the community college or somewhere else along their route. They haven't analyzed it to review that this is the optimum location for that stop, is our understanding.
Does the transit company have a stop down at the Hatfield proper?
Yes, there is one in near our visitor center, and then there's one a little bit further on or across the street that handles PMEC as well.
So there is a were there to be one at the new development, it would be a direct route during
be part of that.
Wintry weather, which is not so favorable to bicycles.
Yes. So actually, to the first question, there's a, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there's the road, and then there's about a 12 or 14 foot grassy area, and then there's the 12 foot path. And so I believe the turnout, there is space there for that sort of turnout. And that's all the way along Harborton.
But isn't there a bus that runs clear out to the community college? Pass your site?
Yeah, I believe there is,
So your students could walk to the community college?
Could. They could take the new nature trail.
Yeah. I don't think we have any objection to that condition as written, because it's basically conditional. You know, if the transit agency wants it, they get it. But our initial conversations with them, they haven't seemed very interested.
Hey, Bob, most of the professionals, they're coming from all over the United States, or most of them Northwest California folks?
From the various trainings, for example, that go on via NOAA, those can come from around the country. It's pretty nationwide, the professionals.
Central and South
students
America
are more, well. Students are, well, we have a very large population of what are undergraduate interns that come in the summer, and they're funded through national programs. So they're drawing nationally. But for courses, it's predominantly OSU students.
It's kind of the reason, less the students, more the professionals that come in. They may be here for a few days through a couple of weeks, I guess. You know, that location is relatively, at this point, remote as far as getting to restaurants and
amenities.
So, there any type of plans that OSU is going to run some type of little shuttle bus or van service to take people that come in from Boston over to restaurants in Nye Beach or?
Yeah. A couple of things of that. Some programs would fund that. If they have a special training and they have the funding, they might have one of those sorts of vans available for transporting people. But don't forget, these apartments, this is not a hotel. They actually have kitchens, full kitchens in them. And so they don't necessarily need to be going out to dinner every night. Having access to where they can buy food. I'd love to have a Trader Joe's right down the street, but.
We would all love to have a Trader Joe's down the street.
Didn't I see a common area in your drawings?
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
What's the projected occupancy rate? You've got your students coming at one time of the year. You've got professional staff coming at another. It looks like they interlock pretty nicely for the entire year. So what are the projected occupancy rates?
So our business models right now, and we're trying to keep it conservative, is about 80%. So, and that's to see if we can make the numbers work. I would think that's probably not a bad estimate on average through the year. There will be some periods where we're pretty much full, and there'll be other periods where it's maybe a 60%.
Okay. So I assume, some of the apartments will have relatively rapid turnover. So Hatfield's going to provide housekeeping services?
Yes. Yeah, we'll have a on-site housing manager who will live on-site, and then we'll have a full staff that's supported by the Hatfield facility staff. So we'll have house cleaning, we'll have maintenance, we'll have student activity people up there to keep them sane. So we will have a variety of different professionals available.
Will that mean that we will be increasing the staff at Hatfield to accommodate the new facility?
Yes. Yeah. We're looking at 1 to 2 FTEs of custodial, about a half FTE on groundskeeping. Then we'll be able to manage most of the facility's maintenance with our existing staff.
So we'll be adding 3 to 4 jobs, to the community.
Yes, and we're just, as an FYI, with the expanded academic programming that we're supporting, that's also helping us justify the need of this housing, we also have 4 new FTEs that were the first of which is on the street now to hire people. So within a year, we'll have another 4 FTEs there. So 6, 7, 8 total.
Okay. That's good for the city of Newport. Yeah.
Well, when they bring in the extra professors to teach the students, they're not gonna live in the dormitory.
Well, some of them might commute to Corvallis. Ah. I mean, there's a lot
but,
of
but this left. Is not a dormitory.
Commute to Corvallis from here right now.
Yeah, so do I.
With the highway, it's 45 minutes.
Right, yeah, wow.
You know, I think this concept is amazingly positive. It's needed. It's been delayed, for years. It's good to see some positive plans. I was a little taken back when you pushed back on the concept of the added parking spaces. And I've seen other projects in our town where there isn't enough parking, and it spreads on out into the street, and you can't really have people parking up along, Harborton on that hill. And so how firm are you entrenched in your 80 spaces rather than the 101 suggested in the staff report?
So I'll start on that one. Probably our initial reason for not is trying to minimize impact to the site. That's the first. And second of all, from our own experience with our housing down in the Hatfield campus right now, we have about 86% of, when we have students in and we're full, about 86% of the units have cars. Okay, so it's less than the 1-to-1. And we also will probably intend to charge a parking fee to not so much collecting revenue, but to try and sort of reduce the desire of every student having their own car out there. But, you know, it's really was primarily a matter of, well, there is a little added cost and we're at a really tight budget. There's no doubt about that. But it was also to minimize impact on the site.
Yeah,
but that's not consistent with the Wilder plan. The Wilder plan was for, you know, 1.3 spaces per unit.
Correct.
That was the standard there.
Indeed, yes. And so that's why we've formally requested the adjustment to go down to the 1.0 based on the ITE data. Now, having said that, we do understand that adjustments are discretionary review by the Planning Commission. And so I wouldn't say that the applicant team is saying, you know, my way or the highway.
Yeah,
way,
no, you know, not at all.
We're making our pitch, and we'll see, you know, where the conversation leads.
But we've got a Joni Mitchell song here, you know, they pay paradise and
right.
Put up a parking lot.
Now, we do appreciate that that staff has at least proposed a different form of surfacing, mm-hmm. you know, gravel or pavers, et cetera, which are slightly less impactful than the paving, particularly since there are hopes and dreams for a subsequent phase in the future, which could add more units and more paved parking at that time. So this being an interim measure, you know, we'd at least ask for the dispensation that it not be paved for those additional 20.
Commissioner Berman?
Thank you. A couple of questions. First has to do with on-site management. Your previous, one of the previous iterations, the one we saw, had an on-site manager full-time living there. And in your discussion of staff, you didn't mention that. Is there any plans for a full-time on-site manager given the kinds of activities that graduate students or college students could get into?
Yes, I'm sorry. Maybe I misindicated. There will be an on-site full-time manager living on-site.
Excellent. And then my second question is about usage of bicycles and bicycle parking. What bicycle parking facilities have you designed in here? On my screen, I could not zoom in far enough to see if there was any at all.
Right. Yeah. Apologies. That was one of my talking points that slipped my mind. So basically, at the ends of the L, there's parking facilities for bicycles proposed. And the parking ratio for bicycles under the code would only require 3 spaces, but that seemed a little slim.
Here.
So, yes. Thank you, Derek.
And then the other one's down here,
so, a total of 33
yeah,
spaces is proposed.
Okay, and the final question, there was just a very brief reference to future phases, you know, the numbers, the 500, accommodating 500 students ultimately in Marine Science Initiative, and then 77 units here. I realize that the 500 is not at all at once, but what are you thinking for future phases in terms of numbers?
It's really only been a dream because gathering the dollars is very challenging. It's not something that we can generally fundraise for. It has to be public funding of some sort. But in that context, we actually, our most recent dream has been of sort of smaller, maybe duplex, more cabin-like, where we would have space for a little more compelling space for longer-term professional residents, maybe a graduate student or postdoc with their family staying for a year at a time. So maybe six or eight of those sorts of units that would be sort of spread around. But again, it's barely a glimmer in our eyes at this stage.
This would be on that same property.
Thank you.
It would be on the property. It'd be on the other side of the wetland, by the way, which would have a slightly larger impact on that.
So you're clearly not opposed to cutting more trees.
Well, it's not that we're not opposed to it. In fact, one of the aspects of this design is that you could really nestle these much smaller buildings in among the trees and minimize the cutting down trees.
Well, I think that's all possible. I'm just pointing out one of the arguments you're trying to make about parking. You know, I don't want to have more parking because we got to cut more trees down. So, you know, well, it's a balancing act, no matter what you choose to do in the future.
That we certainly are. But as I said, that another phase is not a real high probability. So if we could minimize impact at this point.
You got this one to be successful with, yeah.
Yep.
A hot topic for the Planning Commission. I assume all the lighting that we have out there will be the what's the term?
Dark skies.
Yeah.
We would appreciate that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think maybe Julie can speak to that, but we have actually done a study to find what the minimum spacing of the lighting would be and to have it directed completely downward so it'll have minimal external impact.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to turn the town into
like the gym at
tourist attraction for meteor bright storms and what have you. You know, right. We need more tourism.
Yeah, so all the lights would be appropriately shielded to.
And I also assume that in the parking we're gonna have some stations for the electric vehicles.
Yes. I think we have right now four high speed planned.
Good on you.
And also under Oregon State Code, they require 20% of the spaces to be quote unquote EV ready, which means conduit brought to them and appropriately sized transformers installed so that in the future they can be wired up without having to tear the whole site apart.
I have a couple of questions. The bike parking, is it covered?
Most of it, yeah. I think there's a few that aren't, but there's a roof for each of those.
Am I recalling correctly that OSU has LEED Silver standards, and would this be under that requirement?
They do have their own sustainability requirements, so it's being designed to LEED Silver. My understanding is they're not actually pursuing the certification, but the Oregon State University has reviewers that are looking at our design along the way and saying, don't forget this, to make sure that that it checks those boxes for sustainability.
Okay. Other questions?
But how much solar are you going to be using to?
I'm sorry.
How much solar are you going to incorporate for
a water?
Let me turn that one to Julie.
Yes, I'm right here. Currently, the project is solar ready with the south portion of the leg facing east and the west portion of the leg pointing south that could have solar on it. However, when we reached out to the PUD and the Energy Trust of Oregon, this is a kind of a dead zone for having solar incentives. And so with the project being kind of cash strapped and the coastal environment not being the best for solar production, we did our best to make it ready for a great environment in the solar production if it can happen in the future.
Too many trees.
Yeah, we couldn't do it at the airport. Yeah. right next door.
Any other questions of the applicants? If not, if we have any persons in favor, see any persons in favor? Oh, would you like to, we have one gentleman?
Sorry, I misunderstood.
Okay. Support staff, good.
He's in favor, but he doesn't want to talk.
Supports it. Persons opposed? I assume you'll waive your applicant's rebuttal.
Bill, we might want to just confirm that we do have other individuals online just to make sure that they didn't want to testify.
Yeah.
Good catch. Would anybody online like to testify?
Silence.
Okay. Silence, okay. Commissioners have any other questions they would like to ask?
I do have one. I read the purchase and sale agreement and the CC&Rs requiring you to secure additional approvals from the former landowner. I assume that process, the give and take, has been concluded, or is that still a pending item going forward?
That has taken place already. So the Wilder Development has their own design review process, which we concluded a month or two back. So we wanted to have that checked off before coming to you and making any promises.
Well, and we also continue to communicate with Bonnie and Wilder with any, all of our different plans, and we will continue to do that. It's a good relationship.
Okay, final. Okay, thank you, Bob and Brian.
Thank you.
At this point in time, the record is closed for public testimony, and the Planning Commission will now deliberate and come up with a verbal decision. Final orders and findings will be prepared for consideration at the next meeting. So, we'll start tonight with deliberation. We'll start with Braulio.
I think I've set forth, my feelings when I was having my dialogue with the two representatives of the applicants. The 77-unit apartment is needed. It'll be an asset to the community, it'll be an asset to Oregon State and the Hatfield Marine Science Center. My only issue is I was a little amazed at the pushback, and then it turned out that there was maybe a financial issue on the parking spaces. I was just bouncing it around in my head. If a parking or if a transit stop is necessary, it could be located, in that same parking area. And so I am, I'm in favor of your proposal, consistent with the suggestions put forth in this by the staff.
Okay. Marjorie?
I, too, have agreement with Commissioner Escobar. The bus transit parking, it is a very remote location. I know ITE with their mid-rise category, I was just looking it up. That's what I was doing on my phone. Having said that, though, I, too, am in favor of the project, but I'm concerned about the parking, and I agree with staff's recommendation that it continues to meet those requirements, because we've make other applicants, in most cases, meet those requirements. And the bus and the transit, yeah, the bus doesn't go out there now because it's not there yet. So I just would want to make sure that they'd have some kind of area that would be able to accommodate the bus and the transit system. So I think that's all I have for now.
Gary?
Well, I'm just really excited that this project is finally going to go forward. It's been many, many years trying to put something together that works. It covered pretty much all the bases, parking with projected occupancy. I don't see being a real problem. There is already a city loop bus that runs a route up that way. Not the most convenient thing for students there, but at least there's, right now, at least there's bus transportation there if they need to run into town or anything. So I'm all for it and excited to see it go forward.
Okay. Commissioner Berman.
Yeah, I agree with most everything that's been said. To me, the big issue is the parking. It's absolutely impossible to park on Harborton. So there are going to be occasions when there's too many cars. So I am definitely in favor of the condition requiring the 20 additional parking spots and all the other conditions that Derek laid out. But I certainly favor the project. Tremendous benefit overall to the city of Newport, and we're very glad to see it hopefully coming to a fruition.
Commissioner Hanselman.
I think Mr. Tokos got this correct in his staff report, and I agree with other commissioners that I am unwilling to make the parking concession or adjustment that you're requesting. I'd rather see a plethora of parking there, considering Harborton is not to be turned into a parking lot. I happen to rent to OSU staff, and one of the things I've learned about them is they put on tremendous picnics and buffets at my apartment that sits next to my house, and the number of people that show are amazing, and the number of cars that accompany them is also quite large, and so the neighborhood becomes a bit of a parking lot. And I suspect, and I hope, that the students out at this new housing will have that kind of get-togethers that bring friends, and those friends are scattered all over Newport, and so cars will bring them there, and that's why I want the extra parking for guests, because I don't want to see a Donnybrook out in the parking lot over whose parking spot it is. College students get a little out of hand occasionally. I did. So I like your project a lot. I think it's something really that the university has done to help students, because it is so hard to find housing here. So I applaud OSU in getting something like this put up to help the students. It is one thing that we, the city, providing housing for everyone that wants to be here is so difficult. So thank you, OSU, for stepping up and helping with the lift. I fully support this. However, you're going to add some parking spots.
Updike.
So I'd like to start with a question to Derek. When you put the staff report together regarding the parking, were you aware that they had an intention of charging for parking? Because that's a standard TDM mode that can be considered.
Yeah, I think the part that gives me...
What's your take on that?
No, I wasn't aware of the charge of parking. I don't believe that would have changed my recommendation. I think my recommendation really boils down to the fact that we do not have any public parking proximate to this site that could handle any kind of overflow should that need arise. So my concern and the reason I structured the condition the way I did was there will be periods of time, I'm not saying all the time, but there will be periods of time of full occupancy and and at times where they're going to have a number of guest vehicles, and I don't know how else to accommodate it.
I appreciate that clarity.
Yeah.
And
but I think we also did the same thing with the South Beach Church. They had to have some off-street parking in a lawn area over and over and separate from their paved areas.
Right. The difference is there's no charge for the parking. So if it's free, they will come. But I appreciate that the fact that that was already in your head. So, and I appreciate my colleagues' comments about the parking and the fact that it's necessary. So, as you can see, I was on the fence on that issue. I want to echo the comments about great to have this, so important, that town-gown relationship, and this furthers that, addressing a key need. So thank you to Hatfield and OSU for doing this. With that, I would say I'm in favor of the staff report and the conditions in it.
Okay, last but not least, I'm all in favor of the project. I am very happy to see OSU and Hatfield growing. We got a new boat coming in, and actually, Bob, you should be getting a windfall of money, because my understanding is that OSU and Washington State were successful in preventing the dissolution of the Pac-12,
which means that on this commission.
You guys should get a lot more money now, because there's only two schools that are going to divvy up the pie.
So you
now should be able to pay for the additional parking that was suggested.
Let's get our northern friends to cut down a few trees for them.
Well, if they're coastal pine, that's a trash tree, in my opinion. Yeah.
Not high quality.
Not high quality, no. Knowing that you've got a lot more money coming in and can pay for some of the additional parking, I echo what my fellow commissioners have all said, and now that we've are sure that we're going to have downcast lighting and electrical vehicle charging.
Yes.
I say let's charge ahead with the whole project.
And people using the trail, you know, that's all going to be helpful.
If we clear out those excess trees, run through the chipper and put them on the trail.
Go listen to the Joni Mitchell song.
Okay, could we?
All right. Ready for a motion?
Yeah.
All right. I'd like to move in regards to file 3, ADJ-23, that the applicant's request be allowed, consistent with the staff recommendations laid out on page 8 and 9 of Mr. Tokos' staff report, including the prior conditions from Wilder, proper land use permits, the bus pullout, the nature trail, the ponding, and obviously the parking, consistent with the Wilder plan of 1.3 per unit and having your overflow lots. And that would be my motion.
Second.
Okay, motion's been put forth and seconded. All in favor can signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Okay. Any all opposed signify by saying nay. Hearing none, the motion has been approved, and the final order and findings will be up for consideration at the next meeting. Okay. Fantastic. Thank you, everybody.
Quick point here. I don't think that the motion referenced the right file number. So you may want to adjust that motion if everybody agrees with that. It's not 3-ADJ-23. That one we're actually turning down. It's 1-PD-23.
Oh, just, yeah, yes. That, we turned down that adjustment.
Okay, so we're at 1-PD-23?
We're at 1-PD-23, so could we have...
Commissioner Berman, thank you for correcting the record.
Yeah, can I clarify the way this was structured, the plan development and adjustment were both approved as altered with the conditions of approval.
Okay.
Ah, okay.
The whole thing.
That takes care of that.
Oh, okay.
Whole file. Okay.
I just want to thank everyone, and certainly we accept your vote. And as I said, it wasn't a go or no-go sort of thing. We appreciate that and all your support. I also want to say thank Bonnie, because she's been a strong supporter of this from the onset, and we're here in large part because of her and Wilder.
I look forward to your project being a total success.
Yeah, amen.
Thank you to Derek. He's been a big proponent in helping us.
Yeah, you bet.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Good luck on your ribbon cutting tomorrow or whatever it's going on.
Thank you.
Yeah.
New business?
I don't have anything else on the agenda.
Unfinished business, director comments?
Yep, all good.
Okay.
It's over.
At, for Sherry's perspective, at 8:28, we are adjourned.